Okay, let's go ahead and start. All right, so we'll
sign in for me, but
we'll go ahead and get started. Yeah, it looks like we'll welcome our one visitor, Megan. Thank you for coming, Megan. All right, so on our journey through this class on Christian education, I don't give finals, like I told you, but we will have a final someday at the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and it'll be over. What did we do with what God gave us as far as how he gifted us and the things he entrusted to us, and how did we use them for him and his glory? So in Christian education, you're going to pursue this your whole life and trying to help others to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So I just want to encourage you to pursue that and seek the Lord. Now in Ecclesiastes, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, because what did God say about Solomon as far as his abilities? Remember what God said? When he became the king, the Lord asked him, you know, what do you want? And what did he ask for? Wisdom, right? And so God calls Solomon the wisest man in the world. Well, the wisest man in the world wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. And I'm not going to go over the whole book with you. Praise God for that this morning, right? But at the very end of the book, he says this, verse 13, chapter 12. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commands, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. So Solomon, after all his searching for all kinds of pleasures and happiness, and he built all kinds of things that were amazing, the wisest man in the world, though, got sidetracked by his wives and his concubines and their gods. But finally, as an old man, he says, fear God, because God will bring every act to judgment, and everything will be hidden, whether it's good or evil. So that's one way to conclude life, as he looked at his life and realized he had wasted a lot of it. But his father, King David, now what did God say about King David? Okay, he was a man after his own heart. Let's go to Psalm 27, and I gave you that handout a couple weeks ago. Psalm 27, David was a man after God's own heart, and that is not what David said about himself. That's what God said about David. God said about Solomon, he was the wisest man, because that was his prayer, and God granted him his request. But as David was seeking the Lord and pursuing him, he was saying in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I've asked from the Lord. If you could ask one thing from God, what would it be? Well, this is what he asked of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. So David, he wanted to pursue God and his relationship with God more than anything else in his life. And we know from the writings of kings and the Psalms that he wrote in the history lessons, that David didn't always succeed in pursuing God with his whole heart. And yet God saw him as a man after his own heart. And what a contrast between David and his son. David's conclusion in life was, I want to spend my whole life pursuing God. And Solomon, his conclusion was, we need to fear God and keep his commands, but he doesn't really say that he wanted to pursue his relationship with God. As an old man, We don't know totally, but we do know as he got older and he got more and more involved in the things of this world and pursuing the things that his wives were telling him to pursue, that he got further and further away in his intimate relationship with God. So I want to encourage you, and as you go out, no matter how God uses you in the future and currently, thank God, that you would be like King David and want to pursue your relationship with God every day. And that's a choice that each one of us has to make. Every day we can decide, okay, Lord, I want to pursue you. And I really enjoyed Mr. Reichert's message yesterday. He was a little short on time. Did you notice that? So I was watching the time as it was going by, and he was flying through his notes there, but it was a very good message. But that was, again, even in very difficult times, as Mr. Reichert shared, we need to be pursuing God in our relationship with Him. And that is really the essence of Christian education, is that we can pursue our relationship with God and help others do that. So the foundation of that has to be, starts with foundation of knowing God, or knowing God. All right. How can we come to know God initially? All right, man. Okay, yeah, by faith in Christ alone. So it starts there. So as we work with people, it's very important to talk about, do you know God in the sense of, have you come to Him by faith through Christ alone, through faith alone? And then the next thing is loving God. Alright, so if you know the Lord, then you want to start growing. And that's our theme for this year, right? Growing in the knowledge of the Lord and growing our relationship with Him. And loving Him. So that's a pursuit all of our life. But then the final level, of course, is obeying God. Alright, so start at this level and say, this is going to be our focus when we're working with people in Christian education in the home or in the church. Start there. If they don't know the Lord initially and they aren't growing in their relationship with them, if they're not loving the Lord, they're certainly not going to be obeying the Lord. We got to focus at the foundation first. So when we're counseling with people, my wife and I were talking to people, you know, if they have really accepted Christ as their Savior, and they can affirm that to us, then we start here in their relationship with the Lord. Like David said, I want to pursue Him all the days of my life. Then how are you doing in knowing God more and growing in Him and His Word? Well, sometimes people tell us, well, I haven't read the Bible. And sometimes it's weeks and sometimes it's months. I haven't spent time with the Lord, even in trying to build a better relationship with Him, because I'm having all these problems, right? Or maybe the only time they heard the word was when they went to church. If I don't go to church, you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. And that's, I'm talking about Christians saying that. Well, yeah, start there. But then also loving God. And how is that going? Do you really pursue God like David did, or you're like Solomon, where he wasn't really pursuing these two things? And then obviously, if you're not pursuing God, loving God, you're not going to want to obey Him, right? But one of the tricks of Satan is, because of our tendency to stray, is he says, well, you never knew God. That must be your problem. You never accepted Christ. That must be your problem. You never really had the faith that you needed. Is that the problem? If you really accepted Christ? Well, that's what Satan does, believe. Or, I know what's happening, so you must not really be loving God, so you can't really be one of His children. Is that what God says? No. And then finally, because you're having a struggle in obedience, then therefore you can't know God, you can't love God, therefore you're one of them. He still tries to convince us we're following Him. Well, that's not true. People can get back on the relationship with the Lord. It's going to build on the foundation as you grow in the faith. So So again, that's going to be your pursuit the rest of your life in your own spiritual walk, but also with everybody around you. So someone that doesn't know the Lord by faith, then we really need to spend time sharing the gospel and then giving them the opportunity to make that decision. So share the gospel and then begin to help them grow in the Lord. All right, so I got a handout.
I won't even charge you for this one. Is that okay? This guy was at the grocery store the other day. One handout, so my wife gave him one. And then, I don't know if it helps you, but I won't charge you for this handout. All right.
So, as you think about our walk with God, there's some things I want to just go over. This last portion in our growth in the Lord. So Christian education is all about growth in Christ and growth in His Word, growth in our walk with God. So once we get our hand out there, we'll talk more about that. But the Lord willing, tomorrow, is everybody heading out tomorrow or today? How many's going today? And then tomorrow? All right, then next day? Anybody? All right, John and Logan. All right. So it's kind of a partial departure here. All right, everybody get a handout? All right, so tomorrow, Lord willing, Carol and I'll go to see my parents out at Maranatha Bible Camp near North Platte. So I was talking to my younger sister last night, but she was saying my dad's going to be 101 on December the 8th, but she said he's starting to get things a little mixed up, which he hasn't done very much up until this time in his life. So he thought it was March yesterday. He thought it was the month of March because it was so warm outside. So, no, Dad, it's actually November. Oh, that's right. Yeah, sure. Okay. So anyway, but I know when I'm out there, Lord willing, I know at some point I'll have a time and Carol will be with me, but they'll have their devotional time and it's in the morning. And as long as I can remember, as every time I've been with them, they've had a devotional time in the morning and then a prayer time usually in the evening. So in the handout there, I call it points to ponder as we wander, and as we wonder about life and about Christian education specifically. But the first paragraph there, be open and sensitive to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Have a daily quiet time. Talk with God. Read and meditate on His Word. And align your thoughts and actions toward becoming more like Christ. So here's my dad. He accepted Christ at 18. So since he was 18 years old, he's tried to do this every day. And he continues to do that. And my mom accepted the Lord as a teenager, and they did not come from Christian homes. So they tried to establish this in their own home, like I told you. So you needed to make that choice, and I need to make that choice every day. But we want to be open to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And just ask Him every day and meditate on His Word every day and align our thoughts and actions toward becoming more like Jesus Christ. So others around you might choose to not do that. But you still can make that choice. So if I'm on an airplane, which this year I haven't been able to do nearly the travel I normally do. If I'm on the airplane, nowadays I can have my phone, obviously, if the battery lasts long enough. But if I put it in airplane mode, I can keep it going a little longer, which probably means I need a new battery. But a lot of times I have this travel Bible with me. But I'm able to do that in an airport. I can do that on a flight. And if I'm out backpacking with some teenagers, college students, that's okay. I don't bring this Bible. I bring a smaller one. But I can sit down and I can read a little bit and meditate on God's Word. So I know you've memorized a lot of verses in your testimonies, and also you've memorized a lot of verses here, but that can help you align your thoughts. And if your thoughts are not God's thoughts, or you're not coming in line with God's word, then you got to adjust, right? You got to make the adjustment. So it's like my vehicles. If my car is out of alignment and it's always pulling hard to the right, what should I do with my vehicle, do you think? What do you think? Okay. Yeah, you can take it in, get it aligned, right? So I had a friend that his solution was he never took his car in to get aligned. You know what he did? He kept going and buying new tires. So every few thousand miles, the tires would be shot, so he would go buy new tires. I said, no. Go in and get it aligned when you get new tires, and then you won't have to buy new tires for about 60,000 miles if you get good tires. But he wouldn't believe me. But that's kind of the spiritual picture, right? Get your alignment in with the Lord every day. All right. And then commit yourself to a local church. So like I've been telling you, you know, when you leave here, even on this break, there's no one going to be taking attendance to see if you came. There won't be a car report. And one gal really did think it was about her vehicle, but this freshman thought that was about her car. And she was sure she was in her own parking spot. Didn't know why Mr. Usby was wanting a car report. So no, that's something else. We'll have to explain that to you. But commit yourself to a church, a local church. Some people say, well, I'm committed to the universal church. Well, that's good, but it has a local expression. So commit yourself to the church. Be willing to take any ministry your church leaders offer you. Involve yourself in a variety of ministries during your college years. So you're able to do that while you're here. But as you leave here, make that a goal to just serve in your church. And there's a lot of things that, like last Sunday, I spoke at the church we go to when I'm not on the road because our pastor was gone. So they wanted me to fill the pulpit. So I said, okay, I'll come and do that. But just be willing to do what you can in your church. And you got a lot more energy, all of you do, than I do at my age. But you can have your opportunities in your church. So just take those opportunities to work in your church. And make it your goal to know Christ and Him crucified. Okay, again, make it your goal. No matter what you're doing in your church, in your home, you want to know Christ and Him crucified. Activities and programs will not get your spiritual life in focus. Only a personal relationship with God can do this. Okay? So, in our culture, our cultures, we're very busy people. But, Pat?
I think it might be important to just mention, in the instance of up there, you know, when God, and you're knowing Christ and Him crucified, to those who are either in like the Lean Catholic Church or like that, right, any cults, that word doesn't really convey the same thing to other people. Right. I would have claimed to have known God my whole life, but yet I never actually trusted in Christ and His resurrection and the work He did on the cross. And so if you are talking to someone outside of Protestant Christian circles, just know you might not actually be communicating the gospel.
Right. The Christ is always on the cross, but not shown as the resurrected Lord. Right? Yeah, that's really true. So the gospel includes the resurrection there, but the goal, as Paul says, is to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Thank you. All right. But you think if we get more busy, we're going to get more spiritual. What do you think? Does that work? No. Bailey says no. And I've had Sunday school teachers in churches that we've worked in that, like this one teacher was really, really popular, had a big Sunday school class. And so his son came to me and his wife and said, I think my husband is cheating on me. And so she wanted me to help them hire a detective to follow him around to see if he was doing that. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to hire a detective, but we need to find out if this is true. And it was true. The family did hire a detective, and this guy was cheating on his wife. So came to the elders of the church, and they said, hey, you know, this guy has got the biggest science school class, and he's really popular, so this can't be true. I said, yeah, this is really true. So he's got to be removed from his teaching responsibilities, and we need to help this guy become accountable to his wife and his family and our church. Well, he's got the biggest science school class, and he's really busy for the Lord. That's what they kept telling me. And I was the Christian education director, so I said, well, it doesn't matter how busy someone is. If they're not living for the Lord, we have to step in and have discipline in the church. And so our activities don't produce spirituality, but all the world's religions really push a lot of activities and things that they're doing, good works, right? And that makes them spiritual. But we know that's not true, but pursue Christ, all right? So keep these three goals in mind. I want to grow in Christ. I want to be at peace and unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to live in a clean environment, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, and emotionally. In other words, I want to have a life of purity and a life that would be attracting others to Jesus Christ. So that's just a pursuit. As you think about your life, I know sometimes it's hard to keep these things in mind, but this is something I've just tried to pursue over the decades. Take care of your body. Eat plenty, or eat right and rest plenty, and lots of walking or running or whatever you do for exercise, but keep yourself healthy as much as possible. I have friends that are pastors that didn't do this, and you know, they still have a quality of life that is a very low quality of life because they can hardly move. But part of it was going back to their younger days where they didn't take care of their body. All right, so we don't have the opportunity to take care of everything in our bodies, but we can have opportunities to choose what we eat and how we rest, and then also what we do to help keep our bodies active. So, again, the lack of rest in my life and not eating right ends up with migraine headache. So if I don't take time to take care of myself, then there's a built-in shut-off switch called a migraine. And then I do rest because I have to. But it's a lot easier if I really try to take care of myself. All right. So keep your contact with unsaved people and share your faith with them. Don't just let it become all Christians in your life. So our children growing up on the mission fields we served on, we'd go on deputation or go to report to the churches, and a lot of their friends we came and talked to in their homes, they didn't know one non-Christian in their life. And our children were just shocked. How could you not know non-Christians and live in a community? That was their question to their friends and us. And it's like, well, if you isolate yourself to only be with Christians, then it could happen. So I just want to encourage you, keep contact with unsaved people and share your faith with them. And that includes your relatives. Okay. Does that make sense? All right. So maybe some of you will be seeing some of your relatives that aren't saved in a few short days. And maybe they'll tell you what they think of you and your participation in the Bible school. Or maybe some of your friends will tell you that. Or some people you work with might share that with you. Well, that's okay. We want to keep our contacts and share our faith with them. So one of the downsides of COVID-19 for us is we can't go visit a lot of the tribes we normally go visit because they're total lockdown. And a lot of our friends in those tribes are not Christians. But some of them are on Facebook. And some of them do give us their email address or whatever. So I just take time to be in touch with them on Facebook or email. Tell them that we're thinking about them. We're praying for their tribe and we're praying for their family. So this one lady was really sick last week and she's not a believer. But we let her know we're praying for them during this very difficult time. So keep in touch with your non-Christian friends and family. And so anybody have something to share about that side of things? As far as sharing your faith and keeping in touch with the non-believers in your life. Because you're going to have an opportunity in a few short hours probably to interact with a number of non-Christians if you want to. Anybody have? Okay, Logan.
I just say if you are
Right. Yeah, so pray to God. God will open the door, give you opportunity. So I'm always amazed with my wife as we go and say, you know, let's just stop here on our way to Nebraska, for example. I'll say, well, we better stop at this travel center, get some fuel, and maybe I'll get some coffee. Yeah, but she'll go in there, and before I know it, she'll be talking to the checkout person or talking to somebody in the aisle. It's like, wow, why can't we just get in there and get out? Well, you never know. These people might not know the Lord. Say, oh, come on. Okay. Yes, dear. So, well, pray. You talk, and we'll get going eventually. So that's Carol. Okay. So she says she's praying for all of you as you go on your break. So she wanted me to tell you that this morning. All right. Practice being a servant where you live now. Go out of your way to love even the unlovely. Take jobs in your dorms or your church no one else wants to do. So the principle there is you want to right now be living your life out for Christ, because you think, well, I'll do it later. I'll be a servant later. Well, if you're not doing it and learning it now, you're not going to be doing it later. So you need to be doing that. But go out of your way to help even those that you don't want to help as a believer in Jesus Christ. And just help out. So one of the things I like to do in the local churches we do get to attend occasionally is I like to help, you know, after service. Like this Sunday, it was the Christmas boxes for Samaritan Purse. They had probably at least 200 or more at Golden Prairie. So they were stacked up this high all the way across the building. Probably more than 200. But they needed to load them in the vehicle, so that's the kind of thing I like to do. You know, I can pick up boxes and negotiate the stairs and get them into these vehicles, in spite of the wind. Or I like to put the chairs away, like to vacuum the carpet, whatever. Help out behind the scenes. I enjoy doing that. So you find ways you can serve and that you're good at. And even if you're not good at it, you can still help, right? So one time I was in my dorm, this one guy he was supposed to clean the dorm, so he hadn't cleaned, so I went to find him, because I was RA, and I said, hey, you gotta clean our bathroom, and so he did, but then he took some Pine Sol, dumped it in a mop bucket to do his work, but then he mopped our carpet all the way down the hallway to my room and to the door, so our dorm smelled like Pine Sol for a week. Because that guy did that. It's like, well, why did you do that? So, but you can't get that smell out for a while. Doesn't matter. And it was wintertime. So I was like, come on, brother, why did you do that? Oh, boy. Well, you told me I had to clean. Well, I said, okay, well, you know not to do that, right? So even when they're unlovely, unkind, you still love them, right? And he's a pastor today and has been for years. But I'm sure his wife didn't let him do that in their house. But okay, next one there, study hard and do the best you, and don't take shortcuts, because shortcuts never pay. So I'm telling you, shortcuts never pay, but I've sure tried to take a number of them on our road trips, and my wife always tells me, do not do this. So a couple summers ago, we're in Oregon, and any of you know the McCoys that used to be here? Like, okay. So we stopped to see the McCoys, and so we didn't call them before we got there. So I drove our motorhome up this crazy steep road, and my wife's telling me, there's got to be a better way to get to their house. Well, we took the road, and she was exhorting me on the way up. She says, you know what? If we get up there, we have to come down. I said, yeah, that's true, but we'll get there. So we got there. Visited with them, and then I started looking at the map, and there's this one road that cut down towards Bend, Oregon that I wanted to take, and she said, no, we should go down the interstate and go to the other route we know better, because that's a pretty straight route, and not a lot of hills, and not a lot of curves. So yeah, but this one shows that there's a road that's a lot shorter, and it'll be a good shortcut. She says, you should know by now, don't take any shortcuts. So you know what I did? So we'll be fine. So it's this really narrow road, and it's all beat up. And so we're just driving down the road hammering that motorhome. And on one curve, I came around the corner by this river, and they had these barriers by the river going like this, and I scraped the side of my hubcap on the front wheel, on the right front wheel, I scraped that on the side of this concrete barrier. And she told me, well, now you've messed up the hubcap, so you better stop and check this out. Sure enough, I really messed this thing up. And so it took a while to get it off, and I put it underneath. And so when I had to replace that was a lot of money. So, again, shortcuts never pay, but in the spiritual life and in our physical life, they don't pay either. So don't take the shortcuts. Your days are going to fly by, and a few years from now, you will look back and realize these are the good old days. Okay, whatever you do, don't quit. If you're in doubt, return for another semester or a year. If you're in doubt, just come back and pursue, okay? But so I look back on some of the things we learned when I was your age and things we experienced. We did have some good days. They weren't all good days, but they were good. But let's live for today and not the good old days, okay? Live for today. Enjoy what you can remember. But pursue the Lord. And again, if in doubt about things, just come back for another semester. And then select and run with godly friends who care about things of God and show it by their actions. Okay, godly friendships. Don't get caught up in the I don't care or who cares gang. This gang will only drag you down. You need to be built up in Christ. So be careful on your friendships. Choose your friends well. And some of you are choosing your life partner and who you're going to minister with the rest of your life. So be careful, okay? And run with godly friends. Because your other friends, if you're not careful, they will drag you down. So some of my friends I've stayed in touch with all my adult life that I was in college with. Some of them I didn't cut off in my friendship, but I didn't spend as much time with them because they really didn't care about their spiritual life. They didn't. And they will drag you down eventually. So as I used to have a sled dog. We'd go racing around our hometown while I delivered the papers. And I enjoyed that. But what I found out with a sled dog is if you put enough weight on that sled and enough weight on there and enough friction behind that dog, it doesn't matter how strong a dog you have, you can't keep going forward if there's too much weight that dog can't pull it. So the way I would get to stop where I wanted to stop was I could lift up on my sled that I was on where just the very back of the runners was touching the ground, and I could put more of a drag on that sled so the dog would have to stop if he wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. And that especially happened when he was chasing cats, which always was disaster. But bad friendships will drag you down. So I haven't cut off my friends that aren't walking with Christ. I pray for them. I stay in occasional touch with them. But I encourage you to run with the godly ones, because you can go somewhere with godly friends. But your ungodly friends, if you get in with them, they will drag you down. Does that make sense? And then please don't take yourself too seriously. Learn to laugh at yourself and with others. And that's a problem in all of our lives, maybe. But sometimes I take myself way too seriously, and my dear wife has to tell me, no, that's not the way it really is. Or I have to call up one of my sisters, and then they straighten me out on how it really maybe is. But I enjoy laughing at myself and with others. I don't like laughing at people, but I sure do like laughing with people. So don't take yourself too seriously, but let God determine what's in your heart, okay? And then I know that you go to a lot of chapels here at Frontier. And So what I did when I was in chapels as a young college student and then now as a teacher, I think of every chapel as a special time for the Lord to speak through His Word. If someone's teaching from the Word, if that's what that chapel's about, I just try to think, well, okay, Lord, I want to listen, I want to take notes, I want to think, and I want to help others around me to listen by not talking to them during chapel. And God may use a chapel speaker to direct your future plans. And I know you hear hundreds and hundreds of speakers in a school year by the time you go to church, time you go here to chapel and classes, but maybe one of those speakers will be the one that God uses to really direct your future plans. So be careful on how you listen. I know that in my time, I'd really pray this for chapel for myself. And we had assigned seating, so it was pretty predictable who I was going to be sitting by every day, because we were assigned there. But I just pray and say, Lord, I know I've heard a lot of things this year, but please help me to listen. And then if you have something for me that I can pursue, then let me do that. And this one man, he'd always come. He's maybe this tall, little fiery Irish guy. He's a great preacher, but he happened to be a UIM representative, United Indian Missions. And so it just seemed like no matter what he was talking about, that had my attention in it all the time. And he came every year. I was so excited. But God could use someone to direct you that comes here to speak. So I just encourage you to take those opportunities. And then ask questions if you don't understand, even simple ones. Okay, always ask questions. And we don't always have the answer, but feel free to answer those questions or ask them. All right, so I just want to encourage you in that, as you will be going out and you will be serving the Lord, even as you leave here, that you ponder these things as you think about our Christian education, how we serve the Lord. All right, so any comments on those points or questions, testimonies? We could have more testimonies. Maybe you want to give your testimony, Megan? No? Okay, well, I've already heard it, right? We're part of it. Okay, any comments? Questions? All right, John.
You can't just follow any of these things like rules or appearances. Like if you're talking to somebody and you don't actually love them, you don't actually care, or if you're listening and you don't actually care.
Right.
The person that you're talking with or talking to, you will know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, people read us really well. So that's very true. So it's like this one missionary asked when my wife and I drove up for a conference. I heard him asking his dear wife, do we like these people? And he was teasing, but he was partially deaf and speaking very loud, so that's how we heard that. But do we really like these people? Yeah, so we don't, but he does. He liked us. But yeah, if people know we don't care, then it doesn't matter what we say, basically. Right? Any other comments on these things? Okay, I just wanted to take a few minutes before we go. As far as on this class, I didn't have a lot of reading for you, but we had a number of projects. So I wanted feedback on how you thought those. You had your team teaching project you worked on, and then you had your interviews and some class assignments. But how did that go for you as far as your class opportunities? All right, Mark?
Good.
Good? All right. And then you had, of course, your testimony to give as far as your Christian education experiences. So with the testimonies, we had 43 testimonies given over a period of a shortened semester. So normally we have 2 more weeks to go, or 3 after the Thanksgiving break, but this time it was really crammed in here every class. But how was that with your testimony? Did you like that? Did you enjoy hearing other people's testimonies? All right, great.
Thank you.
Right. Good. I enjoyed hearing every one of your testimonies, and then I got to read them because you had a written copy. Thank you. Very good. So your interviews, there was a pastoral interview. How many enjoyed doing that one with your pastor? And you found, okay. And you found out one thing that some of you had a hard time getting a response, right? So again, as you go out and serve wherever God calls you, if people are asking questions, you know, try to get back to them or at least respond saying, I got your message and I'll work on this, or I can't do that. But respond, right? And I know they're busy, but respond to them, right? All right, and then we had the interview with people that served in a ministry that's parachurch, or those that are helping the church. And how many of you enjoyed that one as far as, okay, good? And again, some of you had a hard time getting them to respond, right? But the ministries like that will never take the place of the local church, but they sure help the church in specific areas of ministry. So I enjoyed reading those. And then the last one was more focused on how missionaries and people serving in the churches can help, and in the home can help train and recruit missionaries for the future. And that was a little different angle. But was that a good interview, you think? All right. All right. So again, I didn't give you a lot of reading. I could have picked out a book that would have been quite a few hundred pages long on Christian education, but that would have added a lot to your other classes. So again, you can do research on specific age groups, which you did. But in the future, as you look into what you might be teaching in a specific situation, at least you have some resources to work on. As far as your group project, did I give you enough time to meet as a group in class? Did you have enough time to do that? Okay. And then you're able to do some outside of class to get your presentation ready. So I enjoyed each age group. And how many of you enjoyed the presentation yourself? I mean, getting it ready and getting going. All right. And then did you enjoy hearing other people's presentations and trying to be that age group? I was, okay, good. All right, so the Christian education starts when someone is born into a family until someone is taken home to be with the Lord. So there's such a wide age group, and we heard from each team the different learning characteristics. So one size doesn't fit all as far as how we teach, but you do have a wide range in every setting you're going to be in. All right, so I don't give finals, and that's okay, isn't it? I didn't give a midterm. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, praise God. All right, but again, in this class, we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I make it a habit and have over the decades to pray for students that have been in my classes or come to Frontier. And so I'll continue to pray for each one of you, even though I won't have you maybe in a class. How many are taking church planning next semester? Brother John, okay. So a few of you are. Good. So Mr. Thompson's coming back with TBM, and I'll be helping him with that class, church planning. But it looks like we'll have about 32 students. So I've enjoyed having you in my class, and thank you for taking this class. But I will be praying for you as you go, and then as you continue to walk with the Lord. So some of my former students I've heard back from even last week, they were reminding me of things, of days of yore and the good old days, you know. It's like, well, we'll keep praying for you in the current days too. And they're all over the world, and praise God for that. All right, so any other comments you want to make about this class before we... So I didn't give you... I did hand out notes as we went, but I didn't give you a packet of notes at the beginning, so maybe that was... Was that frustrating to some of you that I was just handing out notes as we went instead of giving you a whole package at one time? Okay. All right. So, well, that's more my style. All right. All right. Any other comments you'd like to make about this class before we pray? Anybody? All right. Well, thank you. It's good to have all of you. And so let's just close in prayer and ask the Lord to protect you as you go. And also, if Lord willing, we'll be able to come back next semester and continue. And we need to pray for our country again, as there's a lot of turmoil going on. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to be together, Lord. And we know that in your word, you have said so many things, and we can understand the things you've said, Lord. There's still things in your word that I don't understand, but thank you that you do teach us day by day, Lord, and thank you for the guiding of the Holy Spirit, Lord. But we know that we live in a world that is always questioning what you have said, and Satan always is asking, has God said? And Lord, as these students go out and into the, even the break here, Lord, there will be people asking them, what has God said? What have you been learning? They'll be excited to hear from them. And then there's others that will be asking the question, well, is that really true? And some don't even believe that you exist, Lord. And I just pray that as we go out, that you'd give us opportunity to share your truth with those who don't yet know you, Lord, and also that we would keep our focus on you. Help us to grow in our relationship with you and knowing you and loving you and obeying you. And again, we know that someday, Lord, we will stand before you at the judgment seat of Christ, and probably will be on our faces before you, Lord, falling down before you in worship, and Lord, that you will give us rewards or loss of rewards, not for our salvation, but for what we did during our sanctification, Lord. And I just pray that we would be given the words by you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And help us not to waste our lives, Lord, on the things of this world, but help us to be using our gifts and our lives for your honor and your glory. So again, we thank you for each one that could take this class, Lord, and I pray for your protection from evil and the evil one as we go from here. Help us to be alert and help those driving to be safe. Lord, we don't take that for granted ever. We know that things can happen in this as we drive, and keep us alert. And also I pray for those that really are sick, Lord, with the COVID, that you would touch their bodies, O God, and raise them back up to health and strength, Lord, and comfort for families that lost loved ones, Lord. And then we also pray for those that are still sick here, that you would help each one, and that your will would be done. So, Lord, we again thank you for your word, and we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And sometimes we don't know really what you're doing on this earth because we don't see everything, but, Lord, our country needs a touch, the United States, your church needs a revival, and we don't know how the election will turn out ultimately, Lord. But in a time of all the high-tech computers, Lord, the people playing like they can't count even a simple election, Lord. And so we live in very troubled times, but, Lord, we know that you know the truth, and you also know that sometimes you turn over countries to situations because of our lack of trust in you and our rebellion against you, Lord. So we plead for thy will to be done in this country and in other countries around the world, O God. We even send out the angels to stop the plague, Lord, of this virus, if that's your will, and that these leaders of the world would come to realize that ultimately you are in charge, Lord, not us. So again, we thank you for this time together and for this day. And I praise in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. All right. Thank you.